Blog Talk Radio.
There it is. There we go. We're live. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me here. This is the Eric Terrell Show. That's right. That's me. We're doing this. We're doing a radio show. Let me tell you something, okay? Color. Color blindness. Are children colorblind? That's what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing today. My special guest has some mixed babies, okay? My special guest is going to have some excellent insight, all right? Listen, I'm not a parent. I like to think that I know things about parenting. I think we all can have an opinion on parenting because all of us have parents. But I'm not a parent, and my special guest is a parent. He is a parent of mixed babies. He has to talk about race. He has to deal with this thing, okay? We're talking about children being prejudiced. We're talking about children being colorblind. We're talking about children being colorful. Now, I actually, believe it or not, I have a co-host, and her name is Asia Downing.
Hey!
What's going on, sister girl?
It's a little cold and rainy in the side, but I'm all well.
You know, I think I've come to the conclusion that the weather is never good in the Chi. Weather in Chicago, it's never good.
It can be. It's just, you know, people just ruin it because when it gets nice outside and it's warm, everybody want to be outside, and then they create trouble.
So it's like they start shooting.
It's a double-edged sword. So if it's nice outside, you got to stay inside. If it's bad outside, you got to stay inside. You just stay inside. So I ain't got no tan. I'm white. I'm still like in. I got no tie to tan at all.
They don't like to shoot in the cold. The pistol is cold. They can't.
Right. They wait till it's sunny and 90 degrees. Like, no, I want to go swimming. I want to go for a walk. Can't do that. Nope.
Yeah, don't take a walk. Never take a walk in Chicago. I don't know why Chicago's so scary. That's weird. I mean, I live in Philly. I shouldn't be scared of Chicago, but I'm scared.
It's not all bad. But if you're not from here, then you wouldn't know. So yeah, I guess the fear is real. You don't know where you're going, you know where you're at, like.
Right. I mean, everybody we think about that's from there is just tough people. I mean, you like Dwayne Wade. I mean, just tough people. I mean, not scary people, but tough people. Like, it looks like they've all just been through a whole lot in Chicago and stuff that I don't want to go through. But anyway, you know, whatever. So I want to say before we get into our topic that I did say I will reveal the season finale survey. I'm going to do that in a few seconds. And I want to let you know that next week we're beginning our election series, our election 2016 series, and I want you all to listen to it. I really want you to listen to it. I know you hate the election. I know we all hate the election. It's going to be about making a difference. It's going to be about voting. And it's going to have some excellent insight about culture and about just can we move beyond this? Can we, as a people, obviously black people and American people in general, what do we do with all of this madness? Because we're in just such a calamitous whirlwind of weirdness. I don't know. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Now, Asia, we can talk about this forever, but we're just going to talk about it for 30 seconds. That's all we got right now is 30 seconds. Who is, and you, of course you're not going to answer it yet. You're going to answer in a few weeks. This is the season finale survey. We're going to take votes online, and we're going to reveal the winner in a month. Who is the best black actor of all time? That's all I got. Who's the best black actor to ever act? We're not talking about actresses, okay? Maybe we'll do that at a later date. But that's what I got. We got Morgan Freeman, we got Will Smith, we got Denzel Washington, Sidney Poitier. He was an actor. Yeah, he was one of the best, right? So we're going to have a discussion about the acting industry and about those actors. What do you think? Does that work?
Yeah, you keep bringing these tough ones. Like, yeah. I don't know how I feel. Like, we should just do, like, grape jelly or strawberry jelly. We would be like, strawberry jelly. That'd be easy. But, I don't know. We've come a long way in for that, like, that all-time thing. I think it's going to be that thing, like, okay, who has the most Oscars, or who was the first to do it, or who's on top, you know, right now, who's done the most movies. Samuel Jackson, he never turned down a role.
Which is why he's probably the most paid black actor of all time.
He is the most paid black actor of all time. So that's some greatness in itself. I think this is going to be another good debate, and I'm anxious to see what people come up with.
Who's going to be
the contenders? Yes.
good. Now we're going to get rolling. We got about 25 minutes left. This show is moving really, really fast. Now I'm going to start with you today, Asia. Every now and then, I think I want to start with you. I'm going to start with you. We're going to go to you. We're going to come to me, and then we're going to bring in my very special guest. Okay. So, what do you think? Are children prejudiced?
No, I do not. Everything that I feel like everything, because my mom, she's a kindergarten teacher, and the mind of a child is very influenced and can be molded right from birth. So the learned behaviors, I feel like prejudice is definitely one of those learned behaviors. Now, they might have some, I guess, maybe reservations against, this person that, if they've been brought up around people that look just like them and it's somebody that looks different, they might be curious. They might want to have questions and things like that. But any hate toward one group of people just because of the color of their skin, I don't think a child has the willpower to pretty much, you know, manifest those thoughts on their own. So,
right.
Growing up around, if their kids never interact with black people, or if they see their parents, you know, acting negatively toward people of color, and they see that, you know, monkey see, monkey do.
So should parents address it?
I do think in a way, I've seen a couple of posts on Facebook about younger kids, like a white child, a Caucasian child, asking her mother questions about the African-American child, and saying that they're just God created everybody in different lights and different shades, and they're just like they're human, they're everybody else. So they need to explain, you know, maybe why these people may look different, answer certain questions, but the racism issue, I don't know when that can be brought up, if they experienced something in their class, like, Tommy didn't like, you know, Susie, or because of, you know, the skin of her color, stuff like that. But they need to, I think the most important thing is that they need to stress that we are all the same. We are all human beings. We all have rights. We should be treated as equals. Because,
yeah.
I mean, the same thing goes, they can tie into, you know, that if she's a little girl, that she has the same rights as Tommy, the boy, does.
Yeah.
You know, if he wants to be a firefighter, she can be a firefighter. Like, there's ways to tie that in to, you know, make it a positive thing. if there's anything negative, I'm not really sure if they, but yeah, it, the parents should definitely address it if they ask, you know, because kids are curious.
Yeah, yeah,
and
definitely.
And definitely not be ignored.
Sounds good. Now I'm gonna make you guys wait for my opinion because otherwise we'd be all day trying to get to Josh Koch. Okay. Now I want to shout out Christina Horton. Okay. People are still commenting on Facebook, and Christina Horton commented and said this is gonna be a good one, and it is a good one. That's all she said, and I want to thank her for listening. My girl from HU, Christina. Now, I know tons of fantastic people. Okay, I mean bucket loads of fantastic people, and I mean this guy is definitely a guy who I've looked up to since I started stand up comedy. Okay, when I very first started at the Laugh House, which is where I believe Josh started as well, he was already doing comedy. He had been doing comedy for a few years, and he had such a cool vibe about him, and I wanted to be cool because I feel like so many black comedians try to pander to urban crowds. They try to jump around, and then they try to cuss a lot and talk about sex, like, you know. I want to be like Josh Koch, and I'm happy to have Josh on the show today for the first time. He's been listening to the show for a few years, and he's on the new season of Laughs on Fox. Josh Koch, what's happening? Josh. Hello? Hold on, let me get this one more try. Hello? All right, he'll be here in a second. He just texted me. I don't know what's going on with his phone, but he'll be here. He'll be on the line as soon as he works it out. Now, Asia.
Yeah.
Let me say this, okay? Now, when it comes to prejudice in children, and when it comes to, I'm going to give my opinion in just a second. I do have a study. I always have a study. However, I have a few short stories. Here we go. Let's try this one more time. Josh.
Yeah, I was there the first time.
No, you weren't. What you talking about? You were.
I was there the first time. That's what happened.
You had us just
radio show.
You had us waiting. It was quiet on here. We looking like we missed the bus or something. Like, what's going on?
Stop getting radio sponsorships by Cricket. You'd be all right.
Now, listen here. I was just about to tell a few really short stories, Josh. So listen to me. Listen. Did you hear the good intro? I gave you a good intro. I hope you heard that because I'll be mad if you didn't.
You did. I was cool, and I don't be jumping around and cussing.
Yeah, exactly. You don't be jumping around and cussing. You do jump around, but you know,
you jump around differently.
You
be like me.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. That's all you need to know. Now, you guys know I work at an elementary school. I work at an elementary school. I've been working there for about 3 or 4 years at different elementary schools. Now, this might be one of the most memorable days I've ever had at work. Okay, now, a little girl, now I love this little girl. I love her to death because she's funny and she's nice and she's just a cool little third grade student. She's a little white girl. Now, the school I work at is 95% white. Everybody's white. Everything is white. I mean, ain't nothing black in the school, okay, but me and a friend of mine who teaches fifth grade. Now, this little girl came up to me, and her table where the rest of the students are, her table that she just left are snickering and laughing. She walks up to me, and she goes, "Mr. Eric." And I'm like, "Yes." And she says, "There's nothing wrong with the word nigger, is it?" And she's giggling because she thinks it's funny, okay? This is a joke to her, and her table clearly getting a huge kick out of this, Okay. Now, you know I'm the only black person in the room. I'm an adult. I'm looking at this girl. She's laughing. She thinks I'm going to laugh. I did not laugh. And eventually she stopped smiling. Her table stopped smiling. And she's like, yeah, that wasn't funny, was it? And I said, no, that wasn't funny at all. And so we pull her to the side, and we talk to her. We give her a little brief little history lesson about the word. And my thing is this. I know that her mother is a nice woman, a beautiful woman, a wonderful person. I know her mother personally. Not personally, a lot. I know she's a great person. And I know she would be mortified if she knew her daughter asked me that question. But clearly her mother didn't address it. Now, is this something that should be addressed? Or should we leave it up to children, Josh? Should we leave it up to children to figure it out on their own? Okay. You got mixed babies. So what's your strategy with your children?
No. She definitely need to be straightened out. I mean, if a child can't tie their shoe, you don't just leave them there till they figure it out, because it'll never get done. And they'll just be running around the rest of their life with knots in their shoes. So right. Look at her vocabulary the same way. I mean, she needs to be straightened out, not in a you know, you're in trouble kind of way, but just, you know, she needs to know that, you know, people are offended by the word, and it's not something that she needs to be saying.
Yeah. So, from your scope, do you think children are capable of prejudice?
Not innately. I mean, children only know what we teach them. They only know what they pick up. And, you know, in my personal experience, I mean, my kid doesn't know that I'm black. He thinks I'm brown, actually. He doesn't have any kind of understanding that, you know, there's two different races. You know, we just a different color. He wants to be my color. He always says that. But he doesn't know that it's not something you can buy or change into, you know?
Yeah, that's... He has no idea that you're black, your child.
No, I mean, we've had the conversation, especially when it became repetitive, him saying that I'm brown, you know, and in his mind, the color brown in his crayon box matches the color on my body. So it's a bit of a tug and pull. Like, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, I'm black, and, you know, you are too, despite how your complexion looks. You know, there's and he's six, so it's not like I expect him to understand the whole, you know, outlook of things, but you do have to kind of get it in there, because like the young lady said, you know, kids pick up at an early age, and the earlier that you train them, you know, the better off they'll be.
Yeah, and I believe you got to teach them, because eventually things like what happened with this student at my school is going to happen. Eventually, they're going to learn somewhere else because they've got to learn, you know. And it's funny because up until that point, children are colorblind, aren't they? I mean, they're blind to everything. I mean, you know nothing when you're born. No one's prejudiced. When there's a moment when nobody is prejudiced. I mean, none of us are prejudiced at the point when we, you know, barely even know our name. Where we think that everybody is everybody, and up until a certain point, we realize that that's not quite the case. You know, black kids realize that they can't exactly do things that white kids can do, and not expect to get interrogated differently. You know, and not expect to get pulled over the same. It's weird. It's weird. Now, so this is your strategy. Your strategy, let them think you're brown, you know, just keep him neutral by, like, addressing it but not addressing it.
I just don't want him to think that there's anything negative about us being different.
Yeah.
You know, and through life, he's going to see more people like me. My whole family looks like me, so he's comfortable with it. But there was a point in time when it was a curiosity for him that mama's white, has fair skin. He has fair skin, and his little brother has fair skin, and I'm the elephant in the room. So, you know, kids, they recognize differences, but they don't have an automatic dislike or distrust of these differences.
Yeah, that's right. You got to catch it, because it's much easier to learn prejudice than to unlearn prejudice. Now, Aza, do you have anything before?
Oh, no, I definitely agree that they taught me some kind of influence before. It's embedded in their ways and in their mannerisms, because, yeah, it is kind of hard to unlearn something. And I don't think we should fault people for it. I mean, we could try to help children and kids and people try to understand, but it is hard to undo those things that parents and situations and atmospheres kind of do.
So. Yeah. Quickly, I'm gonna run through my Facebook to see if any of these things jump out at you guys. One of my former coworkers, Alana Brookshire, says that children are born colorblind, but then they enter the world. It's important to talk to your kids about values and how they intersect with things that are happening in the world. My friend Joselle Bryant says, children are certainly colorblind. Children adapt to the views of their environment. All right. Now, I'll tell you really quickly, one of the days that I first learned that something was strange about who I was, not strange, but that there were strange people and that the world can be strange and prejudiced and racist. I was going to school. I was about 14 years old, and I was eating breakfast and walking down the street. I finished my breakfast, and I threw my trash into a lawn. Not a lawn, but it was kind of like a forest type. Nobody owned it, okay? It was a bunch of grass, and I threw it. I threw my trash in the grass, and this guy was driving past, and he rolled his window down to tell me to pick up my trash, and he proceeded to call me the N-word. And I knew that wasn't supposed to happen. I knew that there was something about that word that should have prohibited him from saying it. I said, listen, this that wasn't okay. And my friend was there, too, and he was like, wait, did he just call us the N-word? I'm like, yeah, I think he did. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what happens now. But, yeah, they learn sooner or later.
Eric, I would be actually concerned where the little girl heard the word and in what context that she thought that it might be something that you would have feelings about.
Exactly. She heard it somewhere, and she had no idea what it was. She thought it was a joke. Now it could have been hip hop, because we know hip hop loves to teach children about the N-word, and it could have been television. But somewhere she learned. So you agree children are colorblind, and that's your strategy. Now, is there anything you would want to leave our listeners with as far as parenting is concerned, and anything that they should look out for, and if you can just address children with mixed babies and children with black babies and black children, like what should they take from today that they should know? Okay, this is how I should go about it.
Well, I'm not sure I got the whole question correct, but, you know, one thing that my wife and I reinforce with our kids is that character is way more important than the color of somebody's skin. And it's been said before in a very famous speech. So it's not something that we haven't heard before. It's just something that you need to get your kid's ear and mind accustomed to, is that, you know, just because somebody's white doesn't mean you can trust them more than somebody who's black. You know, it's the character of the person. And we just want them to grow up having good character so that, you know, details like the color of a person's skin are not going to affect how they interact with people going forward. But I don't know if you noticed, I mean, we're all going to be like getting curly head people in 50 years.
Right. Right. That's true.
How do you decide who to hate then?
Yeah. That's real. Now, Asia, did you have anything before we get out?
No, I'm just
cool.
Not say the N word around my kids. I don't
want to
do that.
never. Now I wanted to listen. The show's over. I wanted to do this. There was. This is from Psychology Today. Okay, and I thought this was so interesting. And I just maybe everyone can just take from this that somewhere somehow a child's imagination will create some kind of racial bias, whether it's a nasty stereotype and prejudice or whether it's just something that they've created because nobody told them what was what and how to feel about it. There was a study done by Dr. Bigler, and this is a pretty famous study. Okay, now, this man studied a group of 5 to 10-year-old children. This is on psychologytoday.com. It's on a blog, and the study was done in 2006. And this was before President Obama had taken office, okay? It was, obviously, 2006. Now, 26% of the students he studied, when he asked them, why do you think that no president has ever been black? 26% of them said that they thought that having a black president was illegal. Illegal. This is something that these children really said out of their mouth, that they thought that for a black person to be president was illegal until President Obama had become president. So I would just say you need to put something right in your child's head. You need to put something right in your child's head because they will create things because that's what children do very well. Now we don't have to mess with this anymore. But Josh, what you got coming up? You got something for us or what?
For the local folks, I'll be featuring at Comedy Works Bristol November 4th and 5th. You can also check out my YouTube and everything else I got online under Josh Kosh Comedy.
There we go, Josh Kosh Comedy. Now we have listeners across the country. Has your episode aired yet?
Yes, it has. It aired October 15th and 16th, and you can find it on YouTube. And I also have the clip from my part of the show is on my YouTube page.
Nice. That's what it is. Yeah, man. He's done laughs on Fox. They wouldn't let me do it yet. I've been trying to do it.
Not yet. You get there.
Yeah. Not yet. Now, are you afraid of Chicago?
Nah. Actually, I thought it was a very beautiful city when I went by there. I drove through there, spent the night last year, and it was a very beautiful city. The weather wasn't all that bad. I didn't see no gang members. It was just it was a nice place to be. Where at the part I was at, anyway.
Be good. That's good. Give a good impression.
That's ridiculous. Tell Asia what part of Chicago you were in.
I don't know. I was on the part where you end up at when you drive through Chicago. You drive past the river, and the sun lights up the buildings, and it looks like a whole. It's nice, man.
Oh my goodness! I don't.
He was.
I don't,
he was in a city. He wasn't. He wasn't in it, like. He wasn't on the west side of Chicago. That's just kind of gets a little bad. I mean, to be honest, it's bad anywhere. You just got to be smart.
No. Don't give me it's bad anywhere. Chicago kills. That needs to be the city slogan. Chicago kills.
Oh my God.
I don't know how Josh made it out, but
I don't go exploring in places where it don't look like I need to be exploring at.
Exactly.
Yeah, they,
you want to be tour. You stay downtown. You stay in the city where the tourist areas are. You just don't go on your own tour, and you'll be fine.
I stayed right in my hostel and went to one comedy show and hit the road the next day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know how to do it. You know how to. I say the gun's gonna have to work hard to find me. Okay, because I'm on a mission.
Hey,
that's what it is. Listen, I thank you for joining us today, brother.
Hey, not a problem. It's been a pleasure, man. It's the first time I did a show laying on my bed.
Yeah, you can do that. Asia multitasks all the time. Asia works and does the show.
Asia sounds like she out there jogging on the train.
Yeah. she's probably been skydiving doing the show. I mean, washing dishes, eating.
I hear all the wind in the windy city on Asia phone.
Yeah, it's windy and rainy. So, yeah. Uh-huh. I can still do the show.
Yeah. Listen, next week, Alan Butkovich is going to be here as we begin our election series, okay? The topic is, can we move beyond Trump? Can we move beyond Trump? Alan Butkovich, I think I'm saying his name right. Hopefully I am. He is the city controller, the Philadelphia city controller. That's right. He's got a really big job, and he's going to have a big job on the air next week, and I can't wait to hear him speak. All right, listen here. Love is the most important thing, my friend. Love yourself, love other people, love the truth, and love love. It's not hard to love love. All you've got to do is love God, because God is love, and God did it. All right? There you go. Hey, I forgot. Josh, who's the best actor of all time? Best black actor of all time. Hurry up. Who you got?
Forrest Whitaker, because he pull off every role with a half an eye.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker can be really hopeful, and he can be really scary. He's played a lot of different things.
Yep.
Like, I love him in The Butler. He inspired me, but you know, certain movies, he can handle a gun really well. I'm like, that doesn't look like The Butler, but good.
I want him to have at least one role where they give him like some tape or something on the eye. He play a regular two eye person. One time.
Why not? Just one time. Have two eyes. One time. Have two eyes. That's what it is. We'll talk to y'all next week.
All right, man. Love you, bro.